Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers, and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
There we go. Vix has just tweeted, from racism to jokes for 5-year-olds in seconds. Best show on the radio, isn't it, though? So don't call in now, because we're kind of done with the calls for tonight. Catherine, you're off now for 2 weeks. Anything exciting happening?
Loads of exciting things.
Beautiful.
Is it? Oh, you want me to tell you?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, because I know that you'll send me pictures anyway, which I'm looking forward to. I miss you when you're away. Who's producing?
Hayley.
Oh, I like Hayley. She's, but she's not as good as you.
Correct.
I do like Hayley, but I miss you when you're away. You know, because the producer-presenter thing has always been it's been a good relationship for us. But then it's evolved from me being my show to kind of, being us. Mm-hmm. So I miss you. And then, so 2 weeks of you not being there.
Then I'm on my own.
Then I'm off and you're hosting, which is good. That's good news for people.
But then we'll get back to, whatever normal is.
Yeah, September. Have a nice holiday.
Thanks.
So, XTC, flipping brilliant. You know the hits, man. Senses working overtime, making plans for Nigel, Sergeant Rock, and all of that stuff. And Andy Partridge is the guy that gets all the attention. And I think Andy... genius, maybe slightly strong, but certainly borderline genius, is one of Rock's great... eccentrics, I'm going to go with. But there were other people in the band, and Colin Moulding was the bass player and also wrote some of the biggest hits. He wrote Making Plans for Nigel, which I think probably was their biggest hit. He wrote Generals and Majors and Grass and King for a Day and some big songs, man. And a flipping amazing bass player. And Terry Chambers was the original drummer. And when Partridge had his breakdown in 82 and said, I'm not touring anymore, Terry Chambers went, well, do you know what? I'm moving to Australia. and they have got together. They recorded an EP that came out late last year, which is a delight. And they've just announced that they're playing, as TC and I, Terry Chambers and I, it's a good name, they're playing 4 dates at Swindon Art Centre, which is where they live and where they've always lived. And they sold, I think there might be, they just released a few more tickets. But these people haven't played together for years and years and years, and they are bricking it. I think you will enjoy this. So this was me chatting to Colin Moulding and Terry Chambers from XTC earlier on today. Well, this is exciting. I've driven all the way out to sunny Swindon to go and meet Colin Moulding of XTC. Let's see. He's given me the right address. Yeah. Hey, it's Colin Moulding. Hello, brother. How are you doing? Brother, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Come
in. Hey, hello.
The kids are off school as hell.
Tell me about it. I know. I'm dealing with it.
How are you, man? You're
right.
I'm
all right. Yes.
How are you?
Got here, Terry at the back with the message.
Oh, wow.
Seeing themselves at the back.
This weather's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, yeah.
I'm going to say it. It's a little bit too hot.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much.
TC.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Lee.
Hello, mate. Hello, everyone. Hello under there. You're right.
There's the neighbours,
How are you doing? I'm Ian. Nice to meet you. You're right. He's tall. I thought he was fixing the fence. You got him.
Well, I'll give him some creosote, I think. I've got some in the shed. How you been doing, anyway?
I'm all right, thank you.
Want a cup of tea or a soft drink or something?
Just some water, I think. Some water will do the job.
Spring water with some ice, how's that?
Well, that sounds great.
Look at this.
Industrial frames.
Okay. This is the nerve centre. This is the bunker.
This right. is where it happens. Where shall I sit this out of the way? You have the chairs, I'll sit on the stool.
Oh, no, I'll sit on the stool. Oh, well, there. You're a guest and I'm only, I don't live here.
Hang on, what do you mean you're only?
You're
the bloody drummer from XTC, man. Colin, I've met you before, so I'm going to turn my back on you slightly, if you don't mind, because I want to speak to Terry. How are you doing, man? It's nice to see you.
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay. So TC and I, great name, by the way.
Thank you.
Were there high fives all round when you came up with that bad boy?
What's one of the high fives?
Oh, come on! You got that on.
No, I think we had a bit of a think about the name, and I think the first thing that sort of came up was XXTC, and we thought, no, that's too sort of, perhaps too obvious, you know.
The X of it, not XTC, as in EXTC.
Yeah, EX sort of.
Well, the X has been lobbed off, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought that was kind of okay.
XTC, you know, I mean. I think that was the first thing that sort of came up. We thought, oh, geez, you know. But your listeners probably won't know that maybe they don't know about Terry being TC.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
They may not, so being Terry Chambers.
Yep. You're the eye. Can I turn the fan off?
Yeah.
Just because of the noise. It means we're going to sweat.
I don't know.
He doesn't know how to do it.
That's just on number one as well.
I want you guys to sweat. So you're playing, you two are playing some gigs. When was the last time? Okay, I will explain this, and my fans are quite musical literate, so they will know about XTC. They will know that you stopped touring when? 82?
1982.
Have you played gigs together since then?
No, never.
Wow.
In San Diego, California, and it was 82, wasn't it? I can't remember the month, actually. But
yes, that was our last gig.
So that's quite a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. Well, the question is, what has taken you so long? Because obviously, Andy pulled the plug on the touring. That was his decision.
Andy had his breakdown, as everybody knows. That's well documented.
Yeah.
You know, and we just proceeded to make records for the next 30-odd years.
And you made, you know, I'm a huge fan. You've made some brilliant records. But was there never a point where, you know, like when in the Beach Boys, when Brian Wilson had his breakdown and said, Alwyn, I can't tour anymore. And they just got, well, they got Glenn Campbell in, then they got Bruce Johnson in. Was there never a moment where you went, oh, maybe we could go out and tour without Andy and still do the songs justice?
I don't think we ever considered it, you know. XTC without Andy was unthinkable, really.
Yeah.
So we just made records. We just accepted it. But Terry left the band around that time because obviously that was one step too far for him, you know.
Right.
And because touring was like kind of a major part of his agenda. And but the rest of us accepted it. And me being a writer as well, it was kind of a consolation prize to the fact that we could spend more time writing.
Yeah.
You know? Dave kind of mourned it, I think, but accepted it. And then Terry kind of, a few months later, Terry left. Really.
Was it the touring thing, Terry, that was the final straw for you? Or was it... Because I read a report somewhere that it was... Was it it was English Settlement? Was it...
The Mummer album.
The Mummer
album,
and you were pissed off with this...
Well, I didn't think that the songs... I mean, I could stand corrected on this. I didn't think they were... After English Settlement, which was the previous album, which was, you know, it seemed to be... Everything seemed to be building on the rock. I felt that some of the songs that we were rehearsing at that time, they were not quite as strong as the English Settlement thing.
Yeah.
So that, in a combination of, you know, I'm never going to tour again type of thing, these things sort of started to add up to me. And I'm thinking, you know, is it time for me? Plus, you know, I had... a marriage sort of situation as well at this time, and all these things sort of seemed to build up, and really they sort of added up to one thing, really, which was me to say, well, perhaps it's time I moved on from this, you know. And Andy actually rang me at that point in time and said, well, listen, you know, if you're worried about the songs, I'll scrap the lot and start again.
Wow.
I said, look, they're your songs, Andy.
Yeah.
I said, I can't be, you're not going to cut your arm off for me. You know, I think it's time I sort of just moved away. And basically that was it. Right. So
they took on a bit more of a folky vibe, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they were slightly folky, but it was electric folk with English Settlement.
Right.
But they took on a bit more of an acoustic kind of tone. And,
yeah, it's a very gentle album.
It looked as if, you know, XTC as a band was sort of moving in a slightly different direction to the sort of like the thump whack sort of tradition that I provided in the early days, as things changed when Barry left. So, you know, it was just sort of like a natural evolution, I guess, for the band.
Yeah.
And somebody had to give, and it was me.
And then you went off to Australia, is that
right? Yeah, I went there for 34 years, yeah.
Wow. And were you drumming when you were over
Well,
there?
When I first got there, I wasn't really doing anything at all. And I got approached by a band over there to sort of fill in for somebody, you know, through a friend of mine that was an agent out there. And I thought, God, I've got to try and do something. So, I sort of went in and played about 18 months with a band called Dragon out there, you know, which, you know, it put food on the table, but it certainly wasn't an enjoyable experience, you know, because, I mean, we were four lads from Swindon type of thing, grew up, Colin and myself have been playing since we were 17, and I don't know, you just have that sort of bond there that, you know, when I went into the Dragon thing, it was like a hired gun, you know, and I don't know, you never really feel part of the they were in jokes, they were Kiwis actually, and there was sort of four or five of them, and you know, they were talking about things I knew nothing about.
So in their own language,
that's
don't
right,
they?
Yeah,
you know, they're obviously from a foreign country, but this, you have your own little shorthands, don't you?
So I always the odd man out, there's no doubt. So I think in every band
better, I
I'm going to kind of flip and flop all over the place. How did you were you two always in contact then for the last 30 odd years?
Over for family dues, you know, and occasionally we might go out for a beer, you know, but generally, you know, I never saw him.
Well, then what shifted this time then? What was the conversation where you went, yeah, maybe we should do something together?
Well, Terry came over and intended to stay.
Right.
Because he was having personal problems and was getting divorced. And
same here, brother.
Well, I joined the club.
Yeah, isn't it? What a club to be a member of.
Well, it's a happy club afterwards, I usually find.
Right,
you know,
okay.
During that period of time, it's a difficult time. As you well know, when you're going through this thing, you know, you're just getting pulled from pillar to post, and it's anybody that says it's an amicable divorce probably hasn't had a real.
I'm sort of coming towards the end of it, but still slow. And the fact everyone bandies that word divorce around, and you think, oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, it's horrible, man.
It's dreadful, because the only people that make anything out of it are the solicitors.
If
you know what I mean, you know, because one side will drag it out,
oh,
you want to be doing this, and in the end, neither yourself or your spouse. Not that you go into this thing to get the upper hand, but it just seems to me that they don't sort of make the passage easy.
Right.
You know.
Well, I'm sorry you're going through that.
Well, I've gone through it.
Oh, is it done?
I'm out the other side.
Oh, well. It's all right at the end?
I think so. Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's never ideal, but better it's over now, and you know, I've still come out.
So you moved back over here,
yes,
and that was when the cogs started turning. That maybe
well, it's actually he was over here a week after he'd been over here a week. He came to for a wedding, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he came for a wedding and stopped rather longer than he thought he would do.
Right,
and then he said, "Well, I'm intending to move back for good."
Yeah,
and I thought the cogs of my mind started to turn, as they say, and I thought, I wonder, would you be into recording some songs? And he, you know, we went out and got really drunk one night. This was at the White Horse, Uffington White Horse. There's a pub at the foot of the White Horse called the White Horse, believe it or not.
Yeah. Cleverly done.
Yeah. And we just got horribly drunk in there one Sunday night and filled our faces with pizza. You know, washing our faces in pizza. I popped the question. I said, do you fancy?
Yeah, got down on one knee.
So the next thing you know, I'm married again.
Yeah. So I got a ring, and the rest is hysterical. So. Yeah.
Very much similar to the way that Ian Gillan ended up getting the job for Black Sabbath.
How did you, I don't know the story.
Well, apparently he'd left Deep Purple, and Ozzy had left Black Sabbath, yeah. And I don't know whether this has got any relevance to the story. But, you know, once again, he went out with Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler, as I understand the story, and once again got horribly drunk. And then Gillan woke up the next day realising that he'd had this phone call saying, you know, you're late for rehearsals. And apparently he arranged more or less sort of, you know, next thing you know, he's sort of touring with the Stonehenge thing and all the rest of it, you know. But I'm hoping Air Ending will be a bit happier than that, because obviously Gillan ended up sort of saying, well, Ozzy's really the singer for this band, you know what I mean? And they sort of went back to where they should be. So, but I think it was fine just
that moment.
Well, it was just a moment of drunken lunacy, literally.
So you decided to record and you released this wonderful EP. When did the EP come out? That was a while ago, wasn't it?
It came out in October
of... Oh, it was last year.
Last year, okay.
And how did you find that? How did you find work? Because it's the bass and the drums, yeah. Integral, yes. Backbone of the of any band.
Well, Colin basically had a couple of these songs that he was going to record anyway, two of which we sort of wrote once I got involved, I guess. I just sort of filled the gap, I guess, and sort of made it a little bit, because Colin was saying it's sort of very soul destroying just sort of working on your own, right. You know. So the fact that I sort of came on board sort of meant that we can sort of spend time together here,
yeah.
And it just sort of eases the burden a little bit, because you can then sort of bounce things off of me thinking, you know, and you're not totally making the decisions there, because if you're a little unsure, it's just nice to sort of have somebody to sort of think, well, what do you think then, you know?
Soul destroying, though, doing stuff on your own.
It is. Really?
Why?
I think the writing is okay. I think you need to do the writing on your own, but the actual physicality of getting these machines working, yeah. and you know, jumping the other side of the curtain.
I should say we're sat in a very fancy, compact, but a very fancy home studio. It's got the whole... I can see them just poking out.
Yeah.
I better get something in when you're playing. That's got all the stuff. So, yeah, actually the act of recording.
Yeah, yeah, it's a three-man job, right. You know. I mean, in the old days, you relied on other people to do all that, you know. But since then, over the years, I've got little bits of equipment and stuff, you know. And I thought, well, if I'm going to record anything, I certainly can't. No one's going to sign me. So I thought, well, I better get some recording equipment and try and do it myself.
Yeah.
Which I did do. And but it was kind of... It was a struggle, kind of, the actual physicality of recording, you know. The writing is different. You can just lie in your bed with your laptop and you just plug in a keyboard and away you go.
That's your technique, is that your...
Oh, yes.
Your secret is
doing it in bed. Doesn't everybody do that way? That's everybody does
so
that way.
So the songs are kind of written in bed, you know. Yeah. And I thought, well, we've got to try and bring these songs to life. And it just so happens that... Mr. Terry Chambers turned up on my doorstep.
And it was... I got him out of bed, basically.
You're coming out to play, Colin.
Yeah.
And XTC fans are thrilled, by this. And the EP is a joy. It's a delight to hear. To hear you two playing together again is great. It must have been... The reaction must have been pleasing, because there's a lot of love out there for you guys.
The reaction to the EP, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, bewildering. We didn't know we were going to get the reaction that we did, you know. It was kind of, oh... Christ, you know. And so when we sold more than what we thought, oh my God. And we thought, well, should we do some shows, you know? I was, having written all those songs for XTC over the years, I thought, my God, I'm never going to hear those songs in a concert hall. And I'm just thinking, well, now TC is here, I'm wondering, what's the chances of us doing some shows? You know?
Why did you never do shows on your own before? Why was there never an evening with Colin Moulding presenting the hits from XTC? You know what? Did it just never occur to you? Were you afraid?
I don't know. Just providing the impetus, just right. him turning up. It
yeah,
was just kind
was
of it was the push to do it. You know. But I'm not. I mean, recording is my first love.
Yeah.
I have to say, and writing and recording is my first love. And but you know. I enjoyed gigs up to a point, but it was a kind of, you know, the 5 years that we had touring with XTC in the early days.
It was relentless, wasn't it?
It was relentless, yeah. And
did that suck the fun out of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what, you know, led to Andy making his decision. If we'd have had more sympathetic management,
right,
instead of just sort of like trying to turn this thing into a money-making machine, as most of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's in it to sort of make money or make a living at least. But, you know, you're sort of more or less treated like a machine. And some people hold up to the rigours of the road better than others.
Right.
And I think in Andy's case, you know, being the front man as well, the added pressure with him, I think basically that took its toll. But I didn't realise that until sort of later on, because I was a young guy at the time thinking, ah, shit, you've done it now.
Yeah.
You know, just a knee-jerk reaction from me, perhaps, and not quite fully understanding that, you know, Andy at that time was off Valium. I had never, didn't have any idea that he was on it in the first place, yeah. Let alone to be, have his pills sort of like thrown down a toilet, you know, a night before a gig. I mean, it was just something that I certainly wasn't aware of any of that.
Do you regret leaving when you did?
Yeah, I think if we'd have had good management, maybe they'd have sort of come round to me and say, listen, let's all have a break and have a calm down. But no, it was just sort of, you know, well, if you're not touring on the road, then you better get in the studio and record, you know. So it was that. So Andy never really got like the rest that he perhaps needed. But as I say, I sort of blame management for that. And they, you know, are there any sympathetic managers out there? Are there?
If so, get in touch immediately.
Well, I don't know. They'll have to be a very low percentage as opposed to 50%, which they normally get or whatever.
I think mental illness then, which is what it is, I suppose, wasn't really understood then. It's not really understood now, but it's understood more.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of, put yourself together, you know, man.
That's right. Yeah. As I say, I'm harping on about management, I know, but, you know, I think with good management and man management more so than anything, you know, or person management, you know, they could have seen that this thing was beginning to fragment, you know, and I think basically the whole band needed a rest at that point, you know. So instead of sort of,
if they said have 6 months off, go off on holiday, go be with your family, and then come back, it might have been different.
Yeah, I think Andy could have sort of perhaps pulled himself together a little bit more, and I think, you know, whether he would have played live anymore, but I think just the gradual build up to that really sort of put him over the edge, you know, without, you know, somebody coming in there and sort of helping the guy out.
Let's talk about the live shows. Is it four nights at the Swindon Arts Centre?
Yes, four nights at the Swindon Arts Centre, folks. So come along and clap along.
And have you booked this all yourself? You've done this kind of like all yourself?
Yes, we booked it all ourselves. We thought, well, let's form a combo with two other guys, which we have done. We've had a little bit of rehearsal, and let's just play the songs in their raw state, you know. No back screen projection, folks.
No dancing girls.
No.
No lasers.
No, it's just going to be, you're just going to be looking at us four. That's it, basically. Yeah. And listening to this tune, because it's about the music.
Yeah. And so what are you doing? What songs are you doing?
Well, that'll be telling, wouldn't
it? Oh, come on, look at this. He's got in the game.
Man, everyone wants a scoop.
He might desert us in droves.
The problem with it is we're still sort of trying to sort the actual running order of these songs.
It's not until October, is it? So you've got...
No, that's right.
Actually, there's a couple of months.
Yeah. We may tell you something now and it might not be the same in 3 months' time. That's the problem, because we're still trying to get this stuff together with these other two guys, as well as ourselves. And... yeah, it's sort of taking shape, but, you know, we're still juggling, you know, where they're going and all this type.
I'm going to say some titles, and I'm going to watch your eyes. King for a Day.
I'm not saying anything.
Whoa! He's closed
my eyes.
Terry, look at me. Terry, look at me.
Well, actually,
Grass.
King for a Day is one of the ones in question.
Oh, really? He's Grass. You're terrible. All right, I shan't push it.
Well, a lot of them have got very high production values, the XTC things, you know. We're doing them on a completely different palette, you know.
So what's the band? So you're bass, obviously.
Yeah, bass and singing.
Drums. Who else have you got in the band?
Well, we've got a rather nice keyboard player called Gary Bamford.
Yep.
And then on guitar is Mr. Steve Tilling.
Fantastic.
They're local guys, but they're really rather good.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, I'm Jamie East. Now, as well as being on Talk Radio every afternoon between 1 and 4pm, I've just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Talk Film. We've got interviews with the big stars like Martin Freeman, Tandy Newton, Josh Brolin, loads of them. And also all of the reviews of the week's big releases. There's a new episode every Thursday, available through Apple Podcasts and your favourite podcast app. Just search for Talk Film and give it a whirl. If you like it, please hit that subscribe button.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
The reaction online has been incredible. People are coming... there's a Facebook page, TC&I Facebook page, which I signed up to. People are coming from Germany. I think you got a couple coming from America.
Yeah, yes.
No pressure, but, you know, this suddenly is becoming a thing, isn't it? Did you realise it was going to be a thing?
We didn't know it was going to be a thing, no. We thought we were just going to set up in a small concert venue and just invite our friends. But no, the word got out. And
people are coming for all the shows as well. People have booked for all nights.
Some have, yeah. So actually, there's only going to be sort of 200 people turn up on three different nights, probably. But
Say we've got an ordeal of the most grievous kind.
Now, you were saying in the kitchen, Colin, that you're shitting yourself a bit. That will surprise people, I think. When was the last time you played a gig? You stood on stage with a guitar and played your own songs.
1982.
It was that. It was.
Yeah, my own songs. Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I don't know. Where do you stand? I mean, I'll have to be helped onto the stage and positioned where I've got to be. You know.
You face the front. That much. You face the audience. That's the tip I can give you.
Right? Yeah, I don't quite fancy that very much.
Do you not?
No.
How are you feeling about it?
Well, the die is cast, isn't it? So I've got to do it now. But
you sound like you're walking to your death.
Walking to the scaffold. It's like
I mean, this Art Centre thing there, it was the first place we ever played when we were 17. The irony of it all, and as I say, I'm probably just as nervous now as I was then, yet despite over those years, you know, I mean, we played some pretty big places.
Yeah.
And it didn't sort of really bother me too much. You get a little bit of nerves, you know, prior.
That's that young cockiness, though, isn't it?
And then once you get playing there, you sort of think, well, this is, provided everything's going okay, you're not getting glassed or whatever, which did happen in the early days. You know, you sort of go through it and you become quite a well-oiled machine. But having not done this, either of us, for such a long time, we're sort of born again.
But that's exciting, though, isn't it? That makes you feel alive.
It has the ring of kind of 77, really, where we used to do the Hope and Anchor and the Red Cow and all those pubs in London. It's got that kind of vibe to it. It's because it's small, it's cosy, and there's, you know,
not room for that many people. That's why we have to do the four nights, really, you know.
Otherwise... That's the reason we sort of picked the Arts Centre, really, because it's sort of quite...
It's a great venue.
You know, it's a nice little place. And once again, we had no idea how many people would be interested in even seeing us at all. Yeah. So the thing with it was, if the tickets didn't go particularly well, we could have said, well, forget doing the other three nights. Yeah. I mean, we booked them because they were consecutive nights, and we thought, well, possibly it would be nice to do it in that sort of run. So, and we more or less were obliged to sort of book it like that. Otherwise, if we just did the one and then the other dates had gone on to something, you know, Peter Pan or whatever else they put on there. Yeah. you know, it would have been too late for us. So we had to sort of grab it and think, oh, geez. Oh, and we didn't know whether we'd fill the four
Isn't
nights
that funny
or not.
That you were unaware because I could have told you would have done.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy. Yeah, you know, you can't be sure. And we didn't want to be seen to sort of be, you know, take on a big venue and all this sort of stuff there and think, Christ, you know, it's half empty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you'd sort of, I mean, I used to be excited when we used to do places like the Marquee for three nights and it was packed out for three nights and there were still people queued out. So that was a better vibe than playing the Rainbow and sort of, you know, three quarters of the bloody seats are still empty.
I can guarantee that there is going to be so much affection in that room that even if you sucked, which you won't, well, maybe, I don't know.
We've considered that as well.
But there's going to be...
Picking a lot of advice off of you here tonight, I'll tell you
that. But there's going to be so much affection in that room. I don't know if you've read the comments on the Facebook page.
There's so much
love for you guys, you know, that I think even transcends the music. Yeah. You could stand there for an hour and just, you know, read the phone book and people would still love it because it's something that they thought they would never see. You know, you two, a percentage of XTC playing them
songs. Somebody said on there, I believe, that perhaps Colin will sort of read some notes from a gardening book and all Chambers will be just drunk in the corner, so perhaps that might be sufficient. I don't know.
That's performance art.
I'd pay for that. Oh, that's 27 quid, no way.
I saw the brilliant is it This Is Pop, the documentary that came out. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. He did a good job, that fella, didn't he? Charlie Thomas, yes. Yeah. He did the 10cc one and all that. They're usually the ones that get on BBC Four, but we didn't.
BBC wouldn't touch it, would they?
They wouldn't show it, no.
Why?
Because we're not that cool, I suppose. You know.
Hey, all right, I'm going to ask. Because to me, XTC is one of the great British bands of all time. You're up there, I'm going to say it, you're up there with the Beatles in terms of each album being a step forward and being a progression, in terms of, you know, I think songs like King for a Day, Grass and Senses Working Overtime, they're pop classics. And I can never understand why you're not one of the biggest bands in the world. Partly the touring thing, okay, that kind of scuppered the momentum that you had going in that direction. But do you know what I mean? Have you pondered that? Do you sometimes, when you're in your bed and you've put your keyboard to one side, go, why weren't we bigger? Do you know what I mean by that?
It's nice, actually, being the best kept secret in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
You still enjoy that?
That's nice, because you know, if you're up there, then the harder you fall. You know, the longer, bigger the drop, you know. But we've always been kind of an underling, you know.
I think that's why the XTC fans like XTC. It's because not everybody does. And it's sort of like a bit of an exclusive sort of club, you know. You know, whereas bands like U2, for example, they're worldwide and global and everybody loves U2, you know what I mean? It's no surprise.
the equivalent I can think of is The Police and Sting, who were kind of, they were your peers, weren't they?
We toured with them in America,
And, you know, Sting is up there I'm going to say it, I think he's a bit shit, you know. I think he's a bit... You know, he's had good moments. But he's up there, and you guys, in my opinion, in the opinion of a lot of people, you know, there's always, every 6 months or a year, there'll be an article in Uncut or Mojo about XTC, the band you must, the five top XTC albums you must have, you know, and it's...
I don't think Airband ever had any sex appeal to an extent, whereas Sting, you'd have
Excuse
to say...
Me.
Well,
sat next to Mr. Colin Moulding, for goodness sakes.
I know him very well.
Right, okay.
No, But, you know, I think there was a certain appeal with people like Sting.
Right.
You know, I mean, for example, nearly 100% of our CD sales have gone to males, yeah, as opposed
yeah.
to... So yes, we 99.9%.
Yeah, okay,
yeah. So we don't really appeal to the female market. So, I mean, that's sort of 50% of the population or very close to it.
Yes.
So, I mean, there you go. That's part of it.
It's probably too soon to ask, but have you considered... What might, if these shows go well, and more importantly, if you enjoy them, any ideas what's, you know, have you talked about what might happen afterwards?
We haven't got a clue what's going to happen. We might be egged off. We don't know. We're just going to take it one step at a time, right. I think, you know. We're not going to look that far ahead.
So you've not thought about, you've not said, well, if this goes well, maybe we'll do a little tour, might, you know, anything like that?
Well, as I said, my kind of, the whole thing in the business for me is recording and composing.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing, and this is kind of a side thing really
okay,
for me.
Isn't that interesting, yeah.
But I, you know, I don't know about touring the world. Is
no.
just it's a lifestyle that I didn't much go on anyway.
Right.
I think I missed my kids blooming growing up. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Now I've got my granddaughter. You know, it's kind of I'm going to miss out again, aren't I? You
yeah.
know. So
what are you doing with your voice? Because your voice on the new songs is incredible. It's like it hasn't. Do you know what I mean, Terry? It's not
aged. It's like a ventriloquist dummy the first situation. Time, that's what it is.
It is. Like, the first time you go and listen to a song from a group or members of a group you've not heard from years,
yeah.
there's always a.
Yeah.
This could be a stinker, but it's the songs are great, and your voice, man, it's amazing.
Yeah, his voice has maintained its. No, it
takes
has.
A lot
yeah.
to get the engine going.
I remember seeing sort of Barry Gibb do his thing at not I'm knocking anybody but doing his live thing at Glastonbury
oh,
and I thought that you know because of the type of music that he was singing you know in the Bee Gees heyday you know, they're right up
he
there
can't do the full set
and, unfortunately certain people and I hate to say it but I think he falls in that category along with quite a few others that just can't quite make it up to that register anymore and some of the songs have to be changed as a result but I think Colin's I mean we've been rehearsing in here and I think he's singing well close to as good as what he's ever done, really.
I play a little bit of bass. I'm not very good at all. How do you... This is a really dumb question, but how do you separate your brain so you can sing and play your complicated bass lines at the same time?
I just don't bother to play them, basically.
You're not,
that's my secret.
Because your bass playing on the records... Yeah, I'm going to blow a little bit of smoke up your ass, as the kids will say. You, for me, the top three bass players in the world, McCartney, number one. Number two, it's you. Number three is Carol Kaye, from the Wrecking Crew. Although she was very rude to me once in an email.
Oh, no.
She's a rude lady. You've been very polite. McCartney, I've not dealt with. Who knows?
Yeah.
But your bass lines on you know, particularly kind of the from the mid-XTC period onwards are incredible. You know, really intricate, melodic, thoughtful bass lines.
Well, I had days and days to think about them,
suppose,
you know.
Yeah.
you know.
You didn't have to play them live either. So
right.
that's all. Cool. I mean,
when you're not playing live, you can go to town, you know.
Yeah.
That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
When you're playing them live and you've got to play as an ensemble and you've got to sing and play bass at the same time, yeah, that's a lot harder.
Yeah.
But when you're just, you know, sat on a stool and you can go to town, then yeah, it's just. We had time on our hands, you know.
You can think up
the parts.
You can do the singing later, you know, as you do in the recording studio. You know, you play your bass, you lay your bass down and sing on the song afterwards. But now you're in a position there where you've got to stand up there and do it as well. So, yeah, we're working around that.
I've got to ask the question. We're not quite in Swindon, are we? We're just outside.
Just on the edge.
Just on the
edge. Yeah, Wamborough.
Beautiful bit of countryside.
Yeah.
But we are 5 miles away from Andy.
If we are.
Have you spoken to him? I know he's tweeted that you're doing the shows and he's wished you luck online.
Yes.
Have you guys spoken to him?
We speak on the email occasionally.
Right, okay.
Probably not as much as we did.
Yeah.
I've got every respect for his talent.
Yeah.
But I suppose over the last 10 years, there has been some animosity.
Right, okay. That's not a secret.
I probably like him less than I used to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's bands, you know.
That is bands. Does it upset you that I would say 70% of the focus on XTC is on Andy. That documentary that was great, it was mainly Andy.
Yes,
the articles are mainly Andy. Mm-hmm. And it could be argued you wrote the biggest hits, you know, and you
wrote some of them, yes.
And your songwriting was integral. You say the bass playing was integral. Do you feel that, and I'm not trying to cause an argument, you don't want to answer it, don't answer it, but do you feel that focus on him was unfair?
You feel sometimes that you don't get your just desserts, I suppose. Yes, I suppose, but I've never been one for kind of hogging the limelight anyway. So, I just grin and bear it, really.
I think from the early days, Andy was the principal songwriter. Colin wrote a couple of songs and he became better as the years went on and wrote more. But in the early days, it was sort of like we were sort of Partridge's mob, really.
Right.
And, he was front and centre and he soaked it all up.
Yeah.
So it was very much of a surprise to me that, he didn't want to play in front of an audience anymore. It's like, you know, what happened to sort of, you know, the guy that wanted to soak it up? I mean, when he was in the room there, he wanted to be the centre of attention, you know, as front men generally tend to be. So that's why he got most of the attention. And, if interviews were going to be done, they wanted him, and I'd probably go along with support, or Dave or Barry would go along with support, or on another occasion, if Colin had to do one, either one of us would go on, but very rarely would Colin and Andy do it together. They would be in different things often.
We would write separately all the time.
He had to sort of take that. That was the mantle he sort of took on, you know.
Terry, look at me. Generals and majors. Oh, a little smile there. There was a little smile. Your poker face sucks. I'm sorry.
He's getting abusive now.
This is an interrogation, not an interview.
Yeah, you've got to get that spotlight and put it on you.
Dave Gregory, have you spoken to Dave?
Not recently.
Right.
No. We had a bit of a falling out.
Really? I didn't realise.
Yes. I seem to be the anchorman in all this. But that's bands for you.
It is bands. It is bands.
It's unfortunate. We all get a bit huffy with things, and you're dealing with always taking the credit for that, and I should be, you know, it's this kind of thing. And when you look at it, we stuck together for a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had fallings out over the last 10 years. We've had a few skirmishes, it can't be denied. But, you know, if he was at me door, I'd invite him in for a cup of tea.
And then tell him to get out. Did you get on with Todd Rundgren? Were you okay with him?
I got on with him all right, actually. I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
But I let him produce.
Right, okay.
Whereas Andy couldn't let go of the reins, that's the thing. Mm. And it was just two philosophies of recording that just clashed, you know. Andy's one of these chaps that, you know, he hasn't had a good day unless he's made you do it 8 times, you know. Whereas Todd was kind of, if he hadn't clinched it by a couple of takes, then we'd move on or pass it over, you know. And it kept things moving, you know. But Andy was kind of, you know, he's a stickler. He kind of wants it right. We can't move on to anything else until it is. So there was the clash, you know. And
favorites is a lousy, lame question. We're going to ask it. Favorite XTC album. If you had to pluck one out to say this was my band and this is what we did and what we sounded like, what one would you go for?
It's difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult. And again, it's that thing that I said, that it's the progression, that every album is a move on from the previous.
I like Parts of Nonsuch, I must admit. I think probably on balance I'd go for that one.
Yeah.
But there's Parts of Drums and Wires that I like as well, you know. So Black Sea too. So I'm afraid I'm on the fence.
Terry, what would you do? Did you listen to them after you left?
Not really. No, I didn't.
Was it kind of a two fingers up?
Not really. The fact that they sort of continued on, I think it was a bit sort of too close to my heart, really, thinking, what would I have done in those circumstances, you know? And fair play to them. They had some great guys playing, and they've done some, I mean, I'm trying to tread in their shoes, some of them, because but to answer your question earlier, we're doing some songs from nearly all the albums, which includes quite a lot
of stuff that I weren't on.
And old, Pete Best syndrome, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of you're trying to, pin this mother down, you know.
What's yeah. that? The Trogs tape. Ba-da-da, yeah. ba-da-da. You've played it already.
Yeah, that's right. That. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's dubba-dubba-dubba-cha.
Cha, that's the one, yeah. So, yeah, I'm having to tread as close as I possibly can in the footsteps of great drummers,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been challenging in itself. Let alone trying to remember what I did myself.
I'm going to wind this up because we're in the hottest room and I've made you turn the fan off and I appreciate your patience. But so it's Swindon Arts Centre. They've just released a load of tickets, but they may have gone already. But look, in October, you guys haven't got a website or anything, have you?
Well, somebody looks after something on Facebook, I think.
Okay.
He emailed me and said, could I do it? I said, well, crack on if you want to, you know.
But this is the TCNI.
Well, there's a TCNI one, and apparently there's a Colin Moulding one as well. But, you know, they're welcome to kind of...
You guys want to get on the Twitter with the hashtags and the trolls and all of that? You know, online fighting?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you really want to get down there? A lot of people have gone through that, and they, you know, a lot of people, I understand, are pulling out of that type
Twitter's
of thing.
Twitter's horrible, but, man. You guys are well off out of it.
Yeah, I think so. It's...
we're too busy. Too busy.
Yeah, it's a world...
I just met your granddaughter. Of course you're too busy. You got your hands full with a little one there.
Holidays, you know. Holiday hell.
It's Friday. It must be Amelie's day.
She's adorable. Hey, listen, I'm so thrilled that you guys are doing this. You're going to be nervous. Nothing I'm going to say has changed that, but there's going to be so much affection for you lot. Yeah. You know, so much affection. I'm coming, I think, on the Tuesday. I've got a couple of tickets. I'm going to come down and see it. Best of luck.
What row are you in then, Ian?
Oh, I'm in...
He'll be the tallest one there. He's about 6 foot seven.
I will have my banner. I'll be waving a banner. I'll be screaming for Terry. I'll be chucking my underwear.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be happening. I wish you the very, very best of luck. And I hope more than anything you enjoy it. You know, I hope that you enjoy it.
Thank you for coming all this way to interview us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ian.
That's a great rehearsal. Should we do it? Now,
I'm no, this is the Todd Rundgren way of doing it. We're done.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.